Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ here this Sunday morning, June 30th, 2024, the end of June, if you can believe it, halfway through the calendar year of 2024, and right here in summer, and it is sure heating up out west. But we thank you for joining us. We start out with a pistol prayer. It's needed today. As much as I think our daily prayers are needed, praying the Lord's Prayer and praying on the full armor of God. And so we'll be glad to send this to you in a Bible bookmarker if you'd like. We've sent hundreds of those out. But we're going to pray it. And when I pray it, I see this happening. I see the you know, when we pray for the bales to be broken and bound, I can't help but think of Gideon doing that. And it just took one to start. And it strengthened others. So let's be that one to get others started. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells. Send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be. And thank you. Thank you for the victory. Amen and amen. Well, Remnant, July coming up, and Volume 7 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we'll be printing it tomorrow. Getting the final updates on it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. It's got a little bit of everything in here, some new books. One of Pastor's favorite books will be in here. You just have to wait and see what that's going to be. But I think you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be a good one for you. We thank you for your support and your prayers that allow us to continue to get these Dragon Slayers out to encourage you and to share these Bible truths that we get with you. Well, tomorrow's July 1st, and the July 4th holiday coming up. So I thought I'd take the time this Sunday, before the 4th instead of after, to just to kind of go over just what it is, the July 4th, the nation's birthday. And this nation, and we'll touch base on it here, born in a day, certainly prophesied. If you have the eyes to see, and we'll share a couple scriptures with you today, you hear many of the learned that say, oh, America's not in the Bible. No, it's just a group of adoptees over there that have been the most blessed nation in the history of the world. But anyway, one of the reasons is, I've got the lyrics to... here to God Bless America. I'm certainly not going to sing it for you at all. But if you can take a look at it. And this, you know, this was a prayer that I remember singing this in elementary school at Lena Vista Elementary on Cumbie Road in Auburndale, Florida, growing up. And it's, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And when you had the children of the land singing that, learning that, praying that, well, God answers prayers. He does. He does. America, it truly is the nation born in a day. Oh, people will talk about that back in 1947, the land of the Israeli, when the United Nations gave them that land, not God. But when the United Nations gave them that land, and they try to point to that, but it's really not. We've reprinted a couple times now Pastor Peter's book, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. We'd be glad to send it to you if you don't have it, because it points this out. This nation born in a day that the nation is celebrating the birthday just this next week, Thursday. And it'll be celebrated they'll have parades, they'll have fireworks, be a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers cooked, a lot of beer drank, I'm sure. And probably a lot of long weekends. But I think it gives us an opportunity to share with others that this nation's birthday is prophesied in the Bible. It is talked about. And again, Pastor Peter's book, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, is a great resource to be able to point to see the scriptures. It's all in one little book. We'll talk about a couple of them right here. 2 Samuel 7:10. This is God's covenant, part of God's covenant with David. Everlasting covenant. And he says, I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Now, he doesn't tell David, oh, David, I'm gonna appoint a place for you. It's for my people. And when you read all of it, it's that it just puts it in the context. They were in the old promised land then. But that's not what God's covenant with David was. And that's not what we read there in 2 Samuel 7:10. And he has appointed a place. He did appoint a place for him, and he moved him there. Let's take a look in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 7 and 8. We see, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. And so these are just a couple of the scriptures that, again, are outlined in The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, that are clues. Now, when you just take it by itself and read it, no, you need to read the context. You need to see that there are prophecies there that are involved, sometimes dual, sometimes multiple prophecies. But when you start to put them together, you know, the Bible says that it's a matter for kings to search out a matter? Something like that. That's a little paraphrase. And so it bears searching out. It really does. It does. Got a quote here. This is from the Mayflower Compact. Again, this nation. Who's heard of such a thing? This nation born in a day. And never before had there been anything like this. And so this is from the Mayflower Compact. It says, in the name of God, we whose names are unwritten, the loyal, and that means underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, by Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, and it goes on, it says, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And so we've said it before, but This was the first document, the first signed civil agreement by the Pilgrims. It was the first signed civil agreement of this nation. The foundation. You know, when you build a house, you might build a house and then you build on, you add on, you might do more here and there, but it's the foundation is where it started. And this is the foundation of our nation. It's been lost. It's been forgotten by so many that this nation was formed for the glory of God and not freedom of religion, but for the advancement of the Christian faith. The advancement of the Christian faith. Now, that's certainly been twisted. That's certainly been all but lost in our society today. Again, I think this upcoming July 4th presents great opportunity for us to share with our friends and family, to point out to them these items, and not just out of the blue, but hey, it's the nation's birthday. Guess what? Let's talk about its birth, those type things. We also have the, we call it the Westward Trek map, but it's this map that's been put together, and we've reprinted it. We've had permission to do that, and it's basically the Reformation of Israel in the West. You see it there, and on the right it shows your European countries, the European nations, and some of the names and the times that the dispersion came through the Caucasus Mountains, and we're given the term Caucasians, and settled the European continent. And then, in one of the largest migrations ever, as they moved across, and as it was a melting pot at one time, but a melting pot of the same peoples that formed this nation, in keeping with Bible prophecy. And so we'd be glad to send you this map. We have to reprint it periodically because we just can't keep them in stock because people order them. Some people order 20 and 30 and 50 and pass them out. And it's a good size. It's like 11 by 17. It's like a placemat size. And it has a good explanation on the back, a good summary of who we are, where we came from, and what the founding of this nation was all about. So, again, it's a good tool, a good, hopefully something that you can use to help open the eyes of your friends and family that just don't see this yet. I've seen recently this seems to be floating around a little bit more. I'm glad to see it at 2 Chronicles 7:14 because it is true. It is, this is what, this is the only salvation that we have. But it is it is repenting and turning to God. We'll look at it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's still there. If my people who are called by my name, well, there's enough right there because they are called by his name, even though this is from the Old Testament. It's Christians today. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And you know, this is another great opportunity to, a great piece to present to show the order that's here. We have many people that say, oh, look, we want our sin forgiven. And we, our land needs healing. People are starting to see that, but there's an order to things. Our God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. 2 Chronicles 7:14 shows the great order that needs to be taken. It does. You can share this quote with your friends from Daniel Webster, who said, "Let us not forget the religious character of our origin." The religious character of our origin. It's where we come from. And if you care to look at certain quotes, again, you gotta look for it. You've got to look for it. Matthew 7:7 tells us, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock, it'll be open to you. But you have to do those things. You have to do those things. You have to ask. You have to seek. You have to knock. And you know how it is if you've got people that are just sitting on their couch that just want to hit the remote. They're not going to get this. It's unfortunate, but they're not. My, how we've changed. Here's a quote from Patrick Henry. This great nation was founded not by religionists, not by religionists, by those that are that just want to promote religion, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this great nation was founded on. And you see that below him, it says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, you don't hear that term freedom. I don't think you hear that a lot in Canada. I don't think you hear that a lot down in Mexico or over in England, the UK, Great Britain, whatever they call that now, or France or Spain or Norway or Sweden. Certainly not in other countries. But you sure hear it a lot here. Again, this is where it comes from. It comes from the scripture. It comes from that where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. A couple more quotes here. James Madison says, we have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. That's that, we hear it periodically, that self-governing. See, that's the Christian. He doesn't need 10,000 new laws every year to tell him not to shoot his neighbor, to tell him he can't go rob the 7-Eleven. The Christian doesn't need that. Now, the hordes, because of our sin, the hordes that have come into this nation, they do. Because that law is not written on their heart. John Adams says, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, meaning a moral and Christian people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And we see that in our land today. And again, I think these are based on the scripture that's there, 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. We read this during communion, and it says, but let a man examine himself. And again, these are foundational principles that this nation was founded on, that it's good to go back and, especially with the nation's birthday coming up, and for us to remember, but also to point out to our friends. Quote here from Ronald Reagan, 1983, of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. And, of course, it was 1983 that Congress declared the Bible, the Word of God. We've got that, Public Law 97-280, and we still get lots of requests for these. We still send them out. You see a picture of it there. We'd be glad to send that to you if you want. Just real quick, I'm going to go through just a couple more resources. We're about out of time. I'm still fighting a little something in my throat. I don't want to get the coughing again, but just again, some of the resources we have that are available that are a help in pointing these truths out to our people. The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, The Light and the Glory. Another great one is The Light and the Glory for Children. That's a much smaller book and a easier to understand. We did put this America is in the Bible packet together that basically is The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, the Roots DVD, The Christians Before Columbus, and the Abrahamic Covenant. You see them all there, and we'd be glad to to send that to you. Well, happy birthday, America. And my hope and prayer is that Americans will remember where we came from. Stay tuned. We've got a great Timeless Pulpit Truth for you and a new message for you after that. God bless.
United States of America, we the people, United States of America.
And good morning, Remnant. Welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this beautiful Sunday morning, July 7th, 2024. Here we are in the middle of summer, but you know, it's a little cool outside. We were in the 40s, low 40s at the Radio Ranch, and only supposed to be in the 70s here in Colorado today. So a nice little respite from the heat of summer. Know that it's pretty warm everywhere else. But we thank you for joining us. And we start out with a pistol prayer. We hope that you'll pray it with us. We encourage you to be prayed up in the days that we're in. Never been a more important time to pray the Lord's Prayer, to pray on and put on the full armor of God, to pray for your family, to pray that full armor of God on your family, to repent of your sins, to make your needs and your requests known to God. You know, these are things that we've had the privilege to learn here at this ministry for many, many years. It's really up to us to put them into practice, though. It really is. And by praying this pistol prayer, I think we do that very thing. I hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you. Thank you for the victory. Amen. Well, lots going on, busy time of the year. Lots going on politically. We're going to look at a few scriptures this morning, and I think that it's something that in many different aspects of our life, it's a question we can ask ourselves and make sure that that we are where we need to be. Sometimes it's kind of hard to start in Revelation, but that's where I want to start. Revelation 3, 15 and 16, because it's a command from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a warning, if you will. And I think that it's one that probably most of the remnant has taken and applied, but we all have friends and family. We all have those out there that this in Revelation, to this scripture to me is just as important as any of them, whether it's Acts 2:38 or John 3:16. And so, you know, we try to equip you with the tools and the encouragement and the whether you call them hints or direction to be able to say, oh yeah, this is what I need to tell Joe. Joe, this, you know, Joe thinks he's this, but he needs to straighten up. This is hopefully an encouragement to you to help you in that, in spreading the gospel and talking with others about it. We'll take a look. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, or neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now that's a command from that, you know, that's not from a prophet. That's from Jesus Christ. And he tells us that you got to be hot or cold, one or the other. You can't be lukewarm, just middle of the road. And it's unfortunate that we see so many today, so much of what is called Christianity in the land today is just that. It's just that middle of the road, because that's what they hear. That's what most of the churches put out. The kingdom message is not preached in the land today. The take dominion message is not. No, it's those evil white European Christians. Boy, they just ruined everything in the whole world. That's what's put out. And the people are, the Christians today, for the most part, so-called Christians, are ineffective because they are lukewarm. Thankfully, you know, the Bible gives us examples of, well, good examples of good examples and good examples of bad examples. The Bible does. And we were privileged here at this ministry and all that that knew our pastor to learn and to have our pastor as a example, a good example of someone who was not lukewarm. It's hard to believe that it's been 13 years since our pastor passed away. But he remains a steadfast example of someone who was not lukewarm for the Lord. Who was, you might even say, on fire for the Lord. And not ashamed of all of what the Word says and all of what He requires us to do. So I hope that that at least that's one good memory that you have. It's one that I have of our pastor, that he wasn't lukewarm. And so on this day, I thought we'd talk about some of that. You know, another example just down in Denver that has been an issue in the past, but there's, you know, it's not just when you stand in the pulpit. Oh, well, there you can be not lukewarm. There you can be hot or cold. No, you know, Mr. Jack, the owner down at Masterpiece Cake Shop down in Denver, he's been fighting. He won in the Supreme Court of the United States. He won his case. The state of Denver is still attacking him. What's that been now, five years since he won, Jason, the Supreme Court case? And the state of Denver, from that very day, they have not ceased to attack him. But you know what? He's still baking cakes. He has not backed down, and he has not backed off of his Christian religious beliefs, his Christian beliefs that he is not going to approve of and endorse sin. That's not lukewarm. It's not. No, it's, you know, another a term we have sometimes is, or used to, maybe out west, standing by your guns, right? Nope, this is how it is, and this is where I'm going to stand, and you draw that line in the sand, whatever it is. We see so few examples of what it tells us there in Revelation of not being lukewarm. We see there's so few examples today. Oh, there's plenty examples of even the church being lukewarm. I saw these graphics just in going through for this. Is the gospel inclusive? Think biblically. And that's not hot for the Lord. That's not cold. That's just whatever. Just whatever. Oh, anything goes. It's all okay. God loves you just the way you are. You see that so much in forums. And you see this, LGBT and Christian. Yes, this is a book by some reverend. No, no, no. Let's take a look at we don't have to go back to 2 Chronicles. Let's take a look at New Testament scripture, Romans 1:27. And you know, We are told to do everything in love. This is given in love. Likewise, the men, this was a warning. The men abandoned natural relations with women and burned with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. New Testament warning. Doesn't matter how much society accepts it. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court of the United States says. Doesn't matter. It's what the Word of God says. And that is the end. Whether you believe it or not, does not matter. That's what it says. Psalms 119. We will go back to the Old Testament. It's all the same word. Psalms 119, 160 reminds us. The psalmist writes, all your words are true. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Now, why would David, a foreshadowing and a type of Christ, put down that all your laws are eternal if Jesus was going to do away with them? It just befuddles the mind at times. His word is true. His word does not change. As his representatives, we're to stand on that. You know, if you're going to be a student of jiu-jitsu, you study jiu-jitsu, and that is what you do. And that is when you, I don't know what they call it, battle or compete or whatever. You show the methods of jiu-jitsu. And the better you are, the more you move up in those, in karate and whatever else. But you have to follow those methods. You don't go out there as a 10-year jiu-jitsu expert and start jiu-jitsu and then go to boxing, right? That's something different. That's not jiu-jitsu. That's something different. Christianity's not that different from that. And when these dirty birds, when these people are just, when they teach lies, they get people to believe them. They go against the Word of God. It's not Christianity anymore. Oh, it might be Judeo-Christianity, but that's not Christianity. That's not your words. Your laws are eternal. That's Christianity. That's what this nation, we're still this last week, this weekend, celebrating the birthday of this nation that was formed in a day, that used to be taught in the elementary schools how and why and who formed that, this nation. And it's not taught anymore. It's just not. Some more words of Christ. In John 14:23, we read, and Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Obey. Doesn't say believe. He doesn't say anyone who loves me will believe my teaching, but will obey. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It's for those that obey his teaching, that aren't lawless. Mark 8:38, because this, I think, is where a lot of the lukewarm comes from. Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, he said. This is a quote from Jesus. Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Ashamed. And many people will say, oh no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. No, not at all. But, you know, it says ashamed of him and his words. What does his word say? I saw this, thought this was interesting. One, ashamed. You know, ashamed means to be unwilling or restrained because of fear of shame, ridicule, or disapproval. Okay? Nobody wants to be shamed. Nobody wants to be ridiculed. Nobody wants to be disapproved. Everybody seeks approval. But that pinpoint, that's the problem. Because if fear of shame or ridicule or disapproval, if those things make us unwilling to testify of the words of Jesus Christ, to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is what the word says. And if we don't want to be shamed in front of people because of that, well, then we are ashamed of Jesus and his words. It's just putting it right into practice for each and every one of us, you and me as well, both of us, all of us. So let us not be ashamed of him and his word. I want to remind you of the network website, sfawbn.com. The Newswire is there. I think Jason's got some new videos posted up there as well. And so we encourage you to go there. Again, sfawbn.com. You see it on the screen. And if you've got local news stories happening you want to share with us, the email you can send them to is jason@sfaw.org. Again, jason@sfaw.org. And we'll do our best to share them with the remnant. You know, it is all of our jobs to warn, to speak like this, to share with others what the word says. You know, if the word said that, hey, listen, on Tuesdays, you have to go out and you have to get a scoop of dirt and put some water in it and mix some mud and put a muddy cross on your house. If that's what the word said, well, that's what we would share and put out, each and every one of us. Isaiah 62:6 talks about the watchman. Says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. Now, there may not be a lot of watchmen, but his word says it, and they're still there. Now, whether you believe the watchman, well, that's a different story, right? That's the next step. But you don't just have to hear the watchman and believe it. No, you can go to the word, because what does the watchman do? He says, hey, take a look here at Revelation 3. See what it says. Take a look here at Acts 2:38. Look here in Peter. For you to look at it, and that's what each and every one of us are to do, is to point these things out to our friends, to our family. Sometimes we even get to use our words in doing it, right? Because we should be living this. 1 Kings 18:21, this time again has come. It's Elijah. Elijah comes near to all the people, and he says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. You know, many times I think we see that with our friends and family. Don't you see this? Don't you see what the Bible talks about baptism? How the Bible describes sin in 1 John 3:4? It's not rocket science. Most of the times it's the answer Elijah got. Let's wait and see how things work out. See, that leads to that lukewarm. Well, let's just wait and see. People may think, well, I'm not a murderer, so I'm okay. I'm a good person. But that's their thoughts. That's not what the Word of God says. It's better if the people answer. 2 Timothy 1:7-8. 2 Timothy 1:7-8 reminds us, men, women of God, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And we aren't to be ashamed. We are not to be ashamed of his testimony, of who he is, of the name of Jesus Christ. Or, like we read earlier, of his word. That is who and what he is. I hope when you're out having a meal somewhere that you pray out loud. No, not in boasting, not in bellowing out a sermon across the Olive Garden or wherever it is you might be eating, but don't be ashamed to use his name. And looking at the time, see, we're wrapping up. We'll look at this last, if you can hit that last one, Jason, Revelation 3:16, it didn't want to print for me, and 1 Corinthians 10. And again, second and third witnesses. Revelation 3:16 again, but since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, Jesus Christ says, I will spit you out of my mouth. And again, a second witness to it that ties right in, 1 Corinthians 10:21 tells us, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. And see, many times, again, our people in this land, they're like those of Nineveh. They don't know their left hand from their right. Because inadvertently, so many of our people do that very thing. Oh, they go to church on Sunday and pray and but then what? Living like hell the rest of the week. And the word says you can't do that. That does not work. Oh, it'll get you accepted at one of those places, but not at the place you want to be. It doesn't get you accepted by God and by Jesus Christ. It just doesn't. Well, again, I want to just remind you of the network website. There's lots there, and I think, Jason, we did have some, what was it, some videos about the Declaration or something that you got posted up there new? So take a look there, sfawbn.com. A lot of work and a lot of effort, and there's a lot of cost involved in keeping that up there, the broadcast schedule, what's playing when, current events. We do our best to do that, to keep you involved, to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep. And this is one of those sites that will help you with that. Well, folks, stay tuned. We thank you for joining us here this July 7th.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with a precious blood.
God, for the spirit of light who has
has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Was slain, who have borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory.
Come out of her, my people. Get on board for the Lord. The train's a-leaving.
Travel on. Travel on.
I've played around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on.
Travel on.
Bump a ride to Jacob. Jacob, come home. Jacob, come home. Oh, Jacob, come on home. Bump a ride to Jacob. Jacob, come home, 'cause you've been in Babylon too long. I lay around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone, I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. Travel on. Trying to hold on to me, trying to hold on to me. From Babylon I flee. Satan and sorcery trying to hold on to me, but I feel like I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone, I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. Travel on. Well, I wanna see my Lord, and I wanna see him bad. Wanna see him bad, I wanna see him bad. I wanna see my Jesus, wanna see him back. He's the only king this nation could ever have. I've laid around. too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long.